Postpartum depression is the most common complication of childbirth. It affects up to 1 in 5 women, and yet, for many new mothers, recognizing the problem and getting diagnosed is a challenge. Yesterday on the show, we brought you a conversation with Kim Kreisel, a perinatal mental health therapist in Gilbert who specializes in working with women experiencing postpartum depression. She says there are a number of reasons she sees new moms become depressed, from hormonal changes and lack of sleep to stress and the physical trauma that sometimes comes with giving birth. And then she says it can be really difficult for those mothers to ask for help.
Women tell me all of the time that they were afraid to tell anybody. They might be having a thought of harm coming to their baby, whether they're imagining the harm being done by themselves or it happening in a natural way. Just the preoccupation with these scary thoughts that they're having, you know, oftentimes make them feel crazy or not like themselves. And so they're afraid to let their physicians know this because they might say, you know, oh, well, I don't know that you're capable of taking care of your baby, and which is their worst fear, their children being taken away.
One of Kreisel's patients who did ask for help was Alex Lyons, a mother of two and a hospice nurse in Mesa. She says reaching out to Kreisel saved her life. I sat down with her in her home recently to talk more about it. And when she realized something wasn't right.
Probably around 5 or 6 weeks, I just wasn't having any joy in anything. I wasn't happy, struggling to eat, wasn't sleeping very well. So my 6-week checkup, I did bring it up to them. I did say, you know, I'm having some anxiety, not doing as well as I thought I would be doing. So I had asked to go on to Prozac, which I had taken after my first son for some anxiety. And the nurse practitioner I saw said that she doesn't prescribe a lot for depression and anxiety, and asked what I was taking before, wrote me that script, and gave me 11 refills. The weirdest part for me was that the sign behind my head in the office said the number one complication with pregnancy is postpartum depression. But she's telling me that she doesn't deal with this very often. So I felt very alone at that point. You know, you're telling this person I'm really struggling. And she's like, well, I don't see this a lot. So we'll do what you did last time.
So what happened? Did things get worse from there?
It spiraled out of control. I started taking the Prozac, and on the label it says can cause drowsiness. So I'm not sleeping. So I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to take more of these. So I was taking them in the morning and at night, hoping at some point I'd fall asleep. It got to a point where I'd been awake for 72 hours, almost 72 hours, probably 70. And I mean, I'm just running around the house, totally out of my mind, begging for somebody to help me. So we eventually went to the ER and they gave me some anti-anxiety medication, and I slept in a hotel for 5 nights because I couldn't be around the kids. It was just dangerous. In the meantime, though, I had gotten to a point where I was having intrusive thoughts. So thinking about somehow getting rid of the baby, whether giving him to someone. So I got very scared about that. And I went on Google and looked for postpartum depression counselor near me. And I found Kim Kreisel on the Postpartum International website, emailed her, and she responded the same day.
How were you able to sort of recognize this in yourself? Like a lot of women I know who have a lot of these symptoms don't want to talk about it, first of all. And then second of all, would be afraid to. Did you have any of those worries at that point, or was it just too bad?
I had worries that, you know, that was my family's baby too. And being a nurse, you know, I've looked into mental health, and I've experienced anxiety. So I know it's a real thing, and I know that it can cause all kinds of different symptoms and make you not who you are for a little while. So I reached out and she saved my life by responding the same day.
So, I mean, how did you feel about this at the point that you're, you know, sleeping in a hotel because you know you can't be around your own children? I mean, how did that feel for you?
So much shame. There was so much shame, disappointment, you know, and now I'm putting... I was off work to take care of this handsome little baby. That was what I was supposed to do, and everyone else was working full time. So there's shame, and it's interrupting their jobs, and I'm the one that's not working. And then it's, how can you not love your own baby right now? Then I missed my older son immensely. So that was difficult, but a lot of shame.
So when you went to see Kim, when you went to get counseling about this, what did you hope would happen? Like, did you think that it would be an easy process? Did you think it would be something like she could tell you how to fix it and it would be okay?
Yes. Yes. I definitely thought we showed up to meet her and I told her the things that I had been thinking that I hadn't said out loud. And she didn't grimace. She just sat there and said, we're going to get through this. And I think her not reacting in a, oh my God, I can't believe that, made me feel better. I'm not the only person that she's seen like this, and this is going to get better. Now, mind you, I did think it was going to get better that day, but it didn't. It was a lot of work. It's still a lot of work. You know, I'm still dealing with emotions that come talking about it, but I thought it would be better the same day, and it didn't. It didn't get better that soon.
How difficult was the process? Like, this is about counseling. It's about working through a lot of the reasons behind this. How did you come through it?
It was learning to identify triggers. So I spent 5 days away and then came home and would hide in the bathroom covering my ears. So the baby crying was a trigger. Being in my house was a trigger. Any baby crying anywhere was a trigger, you know? Target. I've left Target before because the baby was crying. It's not even my baby, but that was a trigger. So identifying the triggers was big, and learning to say, I'm not feeling okay right now. That's all I had to say. And everyone around me would help me find ways to make it better, whether it was leaving or going for a walk or giving the kids a bath. That was something that gave me purpose, you know, and Kim had said that. She said, I want you to do something that's meaningful and purposeful. So when you go home, do the dishes or start a load of laundry. That's helping your family. It doesn't have to be anything to do with the kids, but do something that will make you feel good about being home. So when you leave, you feel like you accomplished something. That was the best advice, because every time I came home, I had a list of 3 things. And then eventually I started coming home for longer periods of time, and I would get the kids ready for bed, or I would make lunch for them. And that was huge for my recovery.
So, how has your relationship throughout this process, through this healing process for you, changed with your new baby, with Max?
He is a joy. He is the happiest little thing, most easygoing. I don't know if it's, you know, just that he is that way, or maybe they know things we don't know. And he knew, I need to be chill and go with the flow, because he is, and he's happy, and he loves his older brother, and seeing them play, as much as I went through and as awful as it was, seeing them love each other and hearing them laugh, it's worth everything. I survived this because of the support around me. My family, Kim responding the same day and following up, the psychiatrist who corrected the medications. There was a point in time where I left the house in my socks to jump in front of a car. So I was done, and it wasn't going to get any better for me, and I was bringing everyone down, so I was going to fix it myself. And luckily I got stopped by an off-duty firefighter, and we looked into the inpatient unit, but they were full. So hopefully we can fix that to where we're full, we can't take any more people, because that's where I needed to be.
When you look forward to where you are now and to what's next and to these little boys growing up, did you learn anything that you think made you a better person and a better mother through this?
I think that a lot of things have come out through this. I am more aware of how to ask people how they are. You know, I could lie all day. I could lie all day that I was fine. And then when I got on the scale and I had lost 12 pounds in 3 weeks, that was visible proof that I wasn't okay. When I'm awake for 70 hours running around the house, that's visible proof that I'm not okay. So I have found better ways to communicate. My relationship with my husband, I mean, he's incredible. He stood there with me and listened to the things I had to say that were very difficult to say in front of other people. And he just held me and told me it's going to be okay. You know, my parents took care of those boys and sleepless nights and crying infants, and I want to be an advocate for postpartum depression. Motherhood is hard. It's really hard. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. There are some dark times, and people don't want to talk about it, and we need to talk about it, because we feel alone when it happens to us, and we shouldn't feel that way. I mean, there are millions of moms out there, and we should be open.
Alex Lyons, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll dig into the issue of screening for postpartum depression, and we'll talk to one pediatrician who is working to not only treat infants, but watch for mothers who may need help as well.